Good morning. This is the Cincinnati Transportation Economic Development and Full Ways and Means, Joint Ways and Means. This morning, we're going to start off with a public hearing, possible work session on House Bill 3905 relating to county fairs. We'll turn that to staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3905 is a bill intended to strengthen county fair boards and revitalize the county fair commission. The bill provides reporting requirements for county fair boards on such matters as attendance, use of facilities, liability insurance, compliance with purchasing laws, budgeting, and use of funds. An audit of the county fair boards is required, which will review fair policies, animal welfare, environmental issues, and compliance with the American Disability Act and other matters. The commission is directed to supervise the reporting and auditing of county fair boards and given authority to withhold state funding if they do not receive the required information. LFO's analysis of the bill is that it will have minimal impact. A lot of this information currently exists, and we don't anticipate additional expense of any great magnitude would be required to forward that information to the county fair commission. And so we think that work can be accommodated within existing resources.
Let me just ask this while we're right there. The audit, the annual audit of the county fair records, including information regarding the animal welfare and environmental issues. I'm not certain that they are presently doing that in the county audit.
I'm not sure to the extent that the bill really dictates how much of a audit is required there. So depending on the scope that you interpret there, you may or may not have a fiscal.
Mr. Chair, given that this is my bill, the intent of it was simply to have that as one of the reporting elements. The idea of all of this reporting back to the Fair Commission is to both be proactive so that the Fair Commission can give guidance to fairs if they see a trend where something is headed in the wrong direction. This isn't meant to be some kind of PETA full investigation of whether or not a hamster stayed in the cage longer than it's supposed to. The idea here is a sort of macro look at, has somebody at least thought about the necessity to deal with animal issues before the fair's being ticketed by somebody who has thought about it?
Okay. Thank you very much. Please sign.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill appropriates or has a transfer of $40,000 for administrative expenses to the County Fair Commission. The intention there is just to provide some funding for their administration expenses. However, the way it's worded in the bill, it talks about the State Treasurer's Office making that transfer, and State Treasurer's Office expressed some concerns that they do not monitor this account or would not be the appropriate office to transfer that amount to the County Fair Commission. Consequently, we have a proposed amendment. It's on the second page, and it's very small. It simply replaces State Treasurer with the County Fair Commission so that they make that transfer. LFO has reviewed that and deems it appropriate, and they'll be interested in making sure that the transfer occurs because that will fund their administration. So that concludes my overview of the bill.
Thank you very much. I'd like to have, we're in public work session right now. I'd like to have or public hearing, rather, I'd like to have John McCauley come forward and just discuss the merits of Representative Johnson's bill here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm John McCauley, representing the Oregon Fairs Association. I'm here to speak in favor of House Bill 3905. This is a bill that we worked with Representative Johnson to develop. And as staff has told you, much of what is contained in House Bill 3905 already occurs. Every county fair is audited every year by the county. It's a part of that process. We would envision that the policies that are called for to be developed in this bill would be presented to the auditor as a part of that process. We believe that many of those policies already are developed. We have encouraged for years and provided information to county fairs on animal welfare policies, for example. They exist in national and international fair organizations, a set of policies on dealing with animals. And it is a proactive approach. I know many are concerned about animal rights activists picketing or demonstrating or causing major issues at fairs. We see the development of these policies, especially in the area of animal welfare, as being proactive to show and to require exhibitors to follow certain procedures, to let the public know that the fair endorses these procedures to make sure animals are well cared for. We think that makes sense. The same with environmental issues. We have been concentrating for more than a year now on animal waste disposal at fairgrounds. This is going to be a huge issue that fairs are going to have to deal with, and we've got to address it. And so we are working with our fairs to make sure that they are having policies put in place so they can comply, and when EPA swoops down, that they are prepared to deal with that. So we think that these are all issues that can be dealt with. And I can commit to you that our association will be working with fairs that may not have these policies in place yet. I know Senator Clarno is concerned about the impact, as we are, on small fairs. Wheeler County, Sherman County, Gillum County, counties that may not have some of these things ready to go. But our association is ready to work with them to help them put these policies in place that make sense for their county. I mean, they will not need the same types of, to address the same types of issues that other counties may, and so we're trying to tailor that for their counties. The reporting requirements that you see in the bill are something that we have voluntarily undertaken for the past 6 years. At this point, all 36 county fairs submit an annual report to our organization that contains the information that you see requested in House Bill 3905. We do not think that will be a burden on the counties. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do support House Bill 3905. We think it offers many positive benefits for not only the fairs themselves, but I think to you as people who are administering dollars that are going to county fairs, and you deserve to have this kind of information, and I think we as an organization are willing to help our members provide that to you.
Are there further questions or questions for Mr. McCauley?
No, and Mr. Chair, as soon as we get Mr. Representative Patridge back in here and Representative Johnson, who went to fetch him, I will make a motion.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I would
We'll move to a full work session then on 3905. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I would move 3905 to the full committee. I will do pass recommendation.
Okay, we've got the amendment.
I beg your pardon. I will move to adopt the amendment to House Bill 3905.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Any dissenting votes? Hearing none, seeing none, so ordered. Representative or Senator Clarno.
Mr. Chair, I will move House Bill 3905 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing and seeing none, no votes. Hearing and seeing none, so ordered to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. As amended, 3905 would be carried to the full by end of the House by Representative Johnson. Senator Clarno, would you like to have that in the Senate, or Senator Yee? Senator Yee, you said the other day.
It doesn't matter to me. If you'd like to carry it, you go
ahead. Senator Yee, you have a good county fair as well.
Yes, we'll carry it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Yee, please. Thank you very much. And this, I appreciate the proactive nature of this and being sensitive to the issues that are already in existence, and appreciate you bringing that forward. And feel that that's a great companion to a funding bill that has some opportunity of getting through as well.
Mr. Chair, if you'd allow me to publicly thank Mr. McCauley for his help.
Absolutely.
He and his association have been great in trying to get this work through, so thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, John. I appreciate you being here today. With that, we will close the work session then on House Bill 3905. We will then open up a public hearing and possible work session on a request for a grant application for the Department of Employment. Lori.
Barbara.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. I just handed out a little packet. The front page is a copy of the grant application and request letter from the department. The second page is a copy of my analysis, and the third page is the analysis from the Department of Administrative Services. To be brief, this is a grant opportunity offered by the Child Care Bureau of the Department of Health and Human Services. The Employment Department Child Care Division would like to submit an application for a grant that would assist in research and data collection for the department. And if you'd like, maybe the department could come up and...
Please.
Just a little overview.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Verlina Crossley. I'm the director for the Oregon Employment Department. We do come to you to ask that permission to apply for the grant. We were notified on May 15th about the possibility of a grant for child care data and research capacity building. This is an area of need, and if you remember during our budget hearings, Senator Yee's discussion about the performance measurements in the area of child care, we believe that with better information and data regarding child care, we can better set baselines, et cetera, for some of those performance measurements. A potential work group for the Oregon Research Partners actually met. They included representatives from Adult and Family Services, the Northwest Institute at Oregon State University, Bobby Weber, who is actually here with us today, and she's the director of Oregon Child Care Partnership at Lynn Benton Community College, and representatives from the Resource and Referral Network. After that discussion, we felt that this would be a good grant to go forward with and ask permission to apply. The federal grant announcement and emphasizes that research collaborations will prevail very strongly in the competitive grant process. And in Oregon, we have been told informally, although they can't promise us, that the collaborations that we have in Oregon around that area make us an excellent candidate, at least for that research grant. So we are asking permission to apply for a grant of $750,000 from the Child Care Bureau, Department of Health and Human Services, to fund research to better understand Oregon's child care needs, services, and outcomes. And the department will return to the emergency board if it is successful with the grant application.
Questions, Representative Johnson?
Not a question. I was going to ask whether the chair was willing to entertain a motion.
Any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair. So, Verlina, how are you going to better understand child care needs? Are you going to do a survey of all the people who need child care? I mean, a percentage of the people who need child care.
Mr. Chair and Senator Yates, surveying is part of the research process, and Tom Olson, the administrator for child care, will be part of that work group and actually is the administrator for the child care area. There will be a number of different methodologies, and maybe, Tom, you would like to put that on the record as well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I'm Tom Olson, administrator of the child care division, and we know some about what child care looks like in the state. We've been working informally for a number of years to try to get the best information we can. None of us, I think, in the child care community are comfortable with the information that we can come before the legislature with. It represents the best educated guesses we have. This grant will give us an opportunity to formalize partnerships we've been working on for a number of years, and we will do we will construct a number of ways to look at child care and its dynamics in the state. We want to look specifically at what are reasonable performance measures for the child care system, how to track them and how to measure them, and also to look formally at what the supply really is of child care. And in addition to that, we really want to take a look at how the subsidy system works with child care. We want to make sure that the working families that receive child care subsidy are staying with the system long enough to do them some good. If they don't, why don't they do that? There are a number of questions that the research design will try to understand.
Senator Flannel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And do you also work with the Child Care Commission, which I think Representative Patrick Jr.
Mr. Chair, Senator Flannel, yes, we work very closely with the Child Care Commission.
Thank you.
and they'll be part of this work group.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be ready to support a motion whenever.
Thank you, Senator Deeds.
Just follow up.
Follow up.
To say that the information will be given to us on a progress report basis after you receive the grant.
Mr. Chair and Senator Yee, absolutely. We know that the legislature needs more information, and we do, both in the planning and implementation. You talked about surveys, for example. We know a lot of people get child care credits, for example, or a number of different types of subsidy. We're going to be looking at, you know, that particular area, so you would need that information to make better and good decisions regarding that money. So, yes, we will be bringing that back to the legislature.
I would think that stipulation would be put in when the application is actually awarded and when the grant comes forward, and then we'll do that for the emergency board at that time. Representative Patnish.
I just wanted to say, as a member of the Child Care Commission, I think that this is something that's very necessary. I think it's something that people are really yearning for across the state, to put together a comprehensive child care policy and determine where we're going to focus our resources and what are going to be the most effective for Oregonians based upon the unique needs of this state. And I applaud Tom and Lillian and the department for bringing this forward. I think it's crucial to know where we're going to be in the future and where we're currently at.
Thank you very much. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we approve the request for the agency to submit a grant in the amount of $750,000 from the Child Care Bureau, Department of Health and Human Services, and move it to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
You've heard the motion. Is there any further discussion relative to this grant application and the motion? Any dissension from or no votes or relative to that motion? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Johnson.
I would defer to my colleague who's a member of the commission.
I'll be happy to carry it.
Thank you, Representative.
Hopefully my allergies will be under control.
Well, that put you down.
Yeah.
I've got all sorts of drugs.
Oh, yeah.
We will now open a public hearing and possible work session on the request for federal grant application on behalf of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Susie?
Mr. Chair, the department is requesting approval to retroactively approve the submission of an application for a Federal Highway Administration grant totaling $3.353 million to participate in value pricing pilot program in anticipation of passage of House Bill 3946, which is also on your agenda today. And as you know, approvals to request federal grants are treated like emergency board requests, so the department is here and DAS is here to present the information to you, and then we'll give our recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Ms. Jordan just used the dreaded retroactive word.
Yes.
Can you help some of us that have lived through watching agencies request retroactive grants? I noticed that your recommendation is to approve the request. Can you give us a little background?
I can. My recommendation is to approve the request, but I also, in the last paragraph of my recommendation, raised the issue as a concern, since this is the second request this session that the department has brought forward for a retroactive approval. The first one was during their budget discussions, I can't remember, the $250,000 grant in communication.
Dispute resolution,
thank you. What I've done is I've initiated a meeting with the department to go over their grants that they have already processed during the biennium, to make sure that we understand which kinds of grants need to come forward to the legislature and which ones are part of their normal revenue stream. It's not in the public's best interest that the legislature be put in the position to deny grants because the department didn't process it properly, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
I would also make the observation that while you're working with the department, based on my 5-year experience of being part of the department, that you might also focus on what internal processes ODOT has to go through to make sure that you can get to your Transportation Commission in a timely way and then on to the legislature. it was not uncommon in my experience to have as much as 3 month delays. And when they're tightly closing federal windows of opportunity, the internal processes were just labyrinthine. So we might make that part of the discussion.
Mike, do you want to respond to the comments?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh from the Department of Transportation. A couple of things. First, just some brief comments about the Act itself. This is the Transportation Equity Act of the 21st century. It has an availability of funds for 15 state government DOTs, Departments of Transportation. I don't see the figure bank here, but I'll make sure I explain.
Just leave the quarter.
to come in and establish and maintain value pricing projects. Value pricing is a market-based approach that tries to identify how you might charge differently according to peak demand for a highway and to make sure you can use the capacity better in so doing. What we're looking at is House Bill 3946, which was heard in House Transportation Committee. It creates a new road user fee task force, which is charged with studying alternatives to the current motor vehicle fuel tax. The task force is not to become an ongoing operational component of the department, and it looks at this issue of value pricing as well as mileage-based fees and peak hour charges and other concepts to try to look at alternatives to the current highway tax. The main concern in the statute about why the review by the legislature is necessary is in order to ensure that agencies don't get into an ongoing commitment without the legislature being advised. We had viewed that the discussion with House Transportation Committee got that concurrence, and the application for the grant is contingent on the approval of House Bill 3946. But we understand the concern, and we'll make sure the next time, even if there's a bill that's pending before the legislature, make sure that we come back to the committee before we move forward with a grant application. So the issue was not one of timeliness with the Transportation Commission or other pieces. It was one of having worked with House Transportation Committee, feeling like the legislative concurrence was there to move ahead. We will work on that in the future and make sure that we're back to this committee or the subcommittee of Ways and Means that's appropriate in order to make sure that's communicated. We're seeking formal approval for the grant request, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marsh. Further discussion relative to that?
I'd like to make a motion as soon as you're
well,
ready.
One thing we could do, I'm not sure where the other senator is we could go ahead and act upon this as we act upon 3946 and just move into a public hearing on 3946 as well, because it deals directly with the value pricing issue. Right. Well, we could have a public hearing. I notice we've got a few good representatives from here to discuss 3946 with us. So with that, thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and extend this public hearing and open a public hearing then on House Bill 3946 and invite Representatives Trumbull and Starr to the glass at the table. And
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for hearing this bill today. For the record, I'm State Representative Jerry Trumbull from House District 27. I'm here to testify in favor of House Bill 3946A engrossed. Earlier, I had sponsored House Bill 2301. However, it was not exactly what we were looking for in terms of being able to create the kind of task force necessary to carry out the work needed to be accomplished to find a new source of revenue for our roads. It would only have allowed for a study of vehicle miles traveled as a tax. It would not have allowed for any other pilot programs or any type of other studies to be done. House Bill 3946 will accomplish what we need in order to find a more suitable and sustainable source of funding for our transportation system in Oregon. House Bill 3946 creates a task force with a limited lifespan to study the needs of the transportation system while allowing a variety of pilot studies to be done. It will allow for more than just a VMT study, but will also allow for studies of other methods of taxation for highway use. This is the only way we can discover what methods of taxation may be the most advantageous for the state in terms of fairness. This type of task force allows us to determine what tax source will work instead of trying to guess at it. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'd be happy to go through and discuss parts of the bill with you if you'd like, or I can just stop there. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll be happy to answer
any questions. Thank you very much, Representative Crummell. Specific questions of Representative Crummell. Representative Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Bruce Starr, State Representative, House District 3 in Western Washington County. I won't, at least I'll try not to say anything that my friend from Wilsonville already said. He said it well, and he said a lot. I guess the one thing that I'd like to reiterate this morning is what I see this task force as is as part of the transition-making task force that would help transition between how we fund our road system, transportation system today, and how we're going to finance it into the future. It's got a 10-year window. We're going to have a lot of people at the table, people from the private sector. I think it's important to get that kind of inclusion. Short of that, I think I could concur with the testimony from my friend from Wilsonville. I think it's a good bill, and I'd urge you to send it on its merry way so we can have the full House and eventually the Senate vote on this bill.
I have a question.
Senator Yee is recognized.
How long would it take for the task force to come back with a recommendation?
The bill requires the task force to report to each legislative assembly every session. So we expect to have some report back next session. We've got some timelines in the bill requiring them to move forward with pilot programs. Again, we have included the timeline in the bill to provide an incentive to the task force, and not only that, but to ODOT. I want to see some action. I don't want to study this thing. We know the problem to a certain extent. Let's find the solutions. Let's find out what works. Let's see if we can get Oregon data with Oregon drivers and Oregon roads. We can come back with that information to the next legislative assembly and perhaps expand those pilot projects during the next interim as well.
Thank you very much. Further questions, Senator?
I just wanted to say, I guess it depends on how much those alternative vehicles are used. The more electrically run vehicles and other vehicles are used, the sooner, I suppose, you can come back with some proposals.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Yee. One of the things that I think we've recognized over the last few years and that ODOT has recognized is that our funding source right now is fairly stale or stagnant. I mean, it has reached a plateau and will pretty much stay there, and it will actually start to fall off when you consider costs of building roads and that sort of thing have started to go up. And with a plateauing of the revenue source, it's actually like a decline in revenue source. One of the things that we find is that because Detroit and Japan and many other countries have done such a great job of with technology developing engines that are more fuel efficient. We're now besides the hybrid cars that are on the market that are getting 70 miles to the gallon, we also have gas powered only motors that are getting up to 50 miles to the gallon. You know, back in the 50s when gas mileage was at 10, 12, 15 miles to the gallon, it was gas tax was a pretty good idea. But now as we've moved into where the vehicles are much more efficient, it's not what it used to be.
And Mr. Chair, if I can just quickly follow up on that, I don't want to prolong this debate, if I don't have to. Not two short weeks ago, we had a fleet of alternative fueled vehicles that was here at the Capitol. I don't know if any of you had the opportunity, but I took the opportunity to drive the $6 million fuel cell vehicle. And we had testimony in the House Transportation Committee the next morning and asked the question, how soon will these vehicles be able to, the average person be able to buy them? And the comment was 8 to 10 years, and so we're looking at within the horizon of this bill, those kinds of vehicles being able to be purchased by the average citizen.
As a result of inflation, we'll be making $6 to $8 million.
There you go.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Yeah.
I think it's just
not legislators, Mr. Chair.
All right. Make sure where you're coming from. Thank you. Further questions, Representative Patrick?
I just had a quick comment. I'm fully supportive of this bill. I think it's great, but I don't want it to be totally in lieu of what we've done here on the budget now, trying to hold the department accountable for looking at the policies and procedures the department has adopted. You guys have worked in the Transportation Committee. You know about the PAVE mainly initiative that they took place. We've asked them through Ways and Means to put together a list of policies for the consideration of the Transportation Committee next time. So I just want to put that on the record that I don't want this to be in lieu of that. I think it is additive to that. So I think we need to look at all the options that we can.
Thank you for that clarification, Representative Jefferson Johnson.
Thank you. So to what degree does this bill intend to get into some of the nuances of our financing system that have been highly contentious? I presume this is a very macro look, but does this open the Pandora's box of the weight mile debate?
As the bill's drafted, I mean, potentially it could, I guess. But I don't anticipate that we'd get there. Under Section 3 of the bill, is, you know, some of the criteria are listed there. And one that I've always come to and reiterated, and we talked about this bill, is public acceptance of whatever kind of alternatives we have. We got to bring the public along. Whatever pilots are out there will be voluntary. Kinds of things where people will volunteer to be involved. We've had comments from AAA that some of the, you know, they'd be willing to, you know, broadcast or advertise this program to their members to encourage their members to be involved. We've got partners that are, I think will line up from the private sector as well, some of the larger employers to become involved in some of this as well. And bringing that public along, not getting too far out in front of them, when you start talking about the use of technology in particular, and you know, no question that it can get maybe a little scary, and we need to make sure that the public is comfortable as we move forward in this process.
Thank you very much. Further questions for Representatives Carmel and Starr? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Further members who have signed up for testimony? Okay, we'll see if we can ring in their thing. Mike, you want to come up and weigh in on House Bill 3936 and understand that it's part and parcel of the grant request? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just for a moment, I'll give you the handout of testimony, and much of it was covered by the representatives in their comments, so I'll just add a couple little pieces to give some context. When we talk about hybrid fuel vehicles and the increased fuel economy, the amount of change that's occurred since 1980 in terms of fuel economy in vehicles is 37%. It was 14.2 miles per gallon was average in 1980. The current average is about 19.5. So that's a huge difference in the miles per gallon and the fuel efficiency of vehicles, which is a good thing. The challenge is in terms of revenues, it has a major impact, and that drives right into the comments from the representatives about stagnation in revenue source, and that we need to be looking at an alternative to the current highway tax process.
Excuse me for just a moment. Your handout doesn't show those percentages. I wasn't writing them down. I was looking for them on your handout.
I'm sorry. It's under the second bullet says hybrid fuel vehicles and other vehicles with high fuel economy, and I'm just expanding on that comment.
Okay, and the percentages there are?
For 1980, the amount was 14.2 miles per gallon. In the year 2000, the average was 19.5 miles per gallon, or a 37% increase in fuel economy.
19.5?
Correct.
37%?
Yes. So just wanted to make that point, Mr. Chair, and indicate, as was mentioned by the representatives, that we are looking for an assertive program here, looking at alternatives with a broad task force and then coming back with pilot projects, which can be tested, and then coming back with a usable program to the legislature.
I'm still trying to get 19.5 miles per gallon. On anything short of my bicycle.
And that's an average, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions of Mr. Marsh relative to his testimony on House Bill 3946 is engrossed. Thank you very much. And Fiscal?
Mr.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have at your place a memo, and attached to that is the fiscal impact statement. The department would seek a one position to coordinate, and this program, if this bill is adopted, it is contingent on them receiving this federal grant. But fiscal is recommending approval. The department will return to the emergency board after they receive notice of approval of the federal grant, and or to report that the federal grant was not approved, and ask the legislature to determine whether or not to continue funding this project.
Section 4 of the bill provides that the House, or that the department may use monies in the State Highway Fund for financing activities. Is 3946, House Bill 3946, dependent upon the receipt of these funds?
Mr. Chair, the bill isn't written that way, no. But if they don't receive those funds, then they will return. In either case, they're going to return to the emergency board for funding.
Whether they receive or do not receive.
Whether the emergency board agrees to approve it or not would be up to them.
Well, let the record reflect, then, that 3946 is engrossed. Should it pass and become law, is dependent upon the receipt of those grant funds that we're examining today relative to the Highway Transportation Administration grant of $3.353 million for value pricing pilot program implementation. So these two are very much tied together. Further discussion? We'll go ahead and get quorum and move to work session.
Can I ask a question Mr. Chair, can I ask a question while we are waiting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why does it take one FTE just to manage the task force? I mean, to be administrator to the task force?
Susie?
I'm going to let the department respond to that.
Mr. Chair, Mike Marsh, Department of Transportation. This is an aggressive program, Mr. Chair and Senator Yee, of doing a significant amount of research and determining how to use technology to do something that has not been done before. So it takes both the initiative of working with a large group of 12 people and getting information from them, working it through a process in a timely fashion, and then identifying those the research opportunities to get the information in, do the research, identify what workable alternatives are out there, whether it's the hubometers that go on the hub and determine how many revolutions the wheel goes and how costly that is compared to global positioning systems that might determine through satellite technology how far a vehicle moves on the ground, to other alternatives that deal with vehicle miles of travel. Significant amount of work, working this through in a timely fashion in order to deliver pilot projects back to next session. We need to have, in order to address this and get it complete in a timely fashion, we need to have the FTE.
Follow-up, Senator.
Wouldn't all this information be already available from past research, so all they have to do is tap into the research and probably make reports to the task force? How often is the task force going to meet?
Mr. Chair and Senator, we're imagining it's going to be meeting relatively often. To answer your first question, there is research available in an academic sense about alternatives out there in terms of technology. We will be one of the first to actually use it for these purposes and test it. So us, as well as the other states, assuming we're approved by the federal government, will be the source of research for future folks that want to look at this as an alternative. We will be developing the research material then and become, in essence, the laboratory for this research.
And there are lists, Senator, of other states and other places in other states that there that legislative fiscal has of some of the research that's ongoing. I'm going to go ahead then and open a work session on House Bill 3946, and we still have the grant application before us, which we had opened up before. Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve retroactively the submission of an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration for a grant in the amount of $3,353,000 to participate in a value pricing pilot program, and that we move it to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion regarding that recommendation? Senator E.
Mr. Chair, don't we need to approve House Bill 3946 first?
We'll do that relative with these funds as we approve these funds. So let's go ahead with the grant application first. No votes on that? Motion is approved, and Representative Johnson, you'll carry that to the House?
Yes, sir. On one
On
one provision that Ms. Jordan assures me she's had a conversation with the co-chair about the retroactivity of this.
Okay.
Representative Johnson.
I would now move House Bill 3946A engrossed to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. And do you want it to be in the motion that it's contingent on the receipt of the...
I think that it's understood, but it's in the record as well. So.
Well, then I'll add contingent on the receipt of the grant funds from the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Highway Administration in the amount of $3,353,000.
Heard the motion that we pass 3946 as A engrossed to the full House with due pass recommendation, or to the full committee with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Dissenting votes? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Johnson, you'll carry that one to the full, and as much as you'll be carrying the funding package to request to the full, and then if you carry that one to the House as well, I would appreciate it.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair.
I'd like to request that we ask Senator Starr to carry this to the Senate. It's his son that is one of the sponsors in the House.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, as a courtesy to my colleague, Representative Starr, I would be happy to defer if you would like to carry this package.
He's a double star bill.
Double star bill.
Mr. Chair, if it's all right, I'm going to put Star Clarno and then and Representative Star Johnson in case.
Okay. With that, we will then close the public work sessions on both that grant application and the House Bill 3946. We will now open a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 966 relating to transportation.
I need to do something.
Last time we
Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 968 requires the Department of Transportation to study the feasibility of joint public-private transportation projects using innovative financing methods. It expands the department's ability to toll and provide creative financing strategies on transportation projects. This is Senator Clarno's bill, so if she would like to talk a little bit about it.
Thank you, Susie.
I'll defer to her.
We didn't orchestrate this at all. if it's all right with the chair, and since he's out of the room, I'll just do it from here. We've been working the last few months with the Department of Transportation, and I publicly want to thank the new director, Bruce Warner, and Joan Plank, and Victor. I'm going to apologize for not recognizing Victor's last name because it doesn't come to my mind at this moment.
Go here.
Thank you, Leslie Johnson. And anyway, in 1995, we had it put in place by Representative Lewis, who has also been in contact with us about this bill, a toll road statute and a toll road authority. That provision pretty much limits a lot of things that the department can do, and what we've done is worked with the department and all people included that I've mentioned to try to expand what the toll road authority did and allow the department to enter into some joint public and private projects, and that's basically where we are with that. And with that, I would ask Susie, or whoever's the acting chair, to have some folks come up and talk to you about this bill.
We only have, Bruce, do you want to explain real quick what the bill does and what the department is doing?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Bruce Warner, the director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. I want to say that this is an exciting opportunity and a bill, and I appreciate Senator Clarno's work and, again, in the same theme that we've been talking about, innovative funding, looking at alternatives for providing transportation services for the state of Oregon. As your staff mentioned, this bill requires the Oregon Transportation Commission to appoint an advisory committee to undertake a study of public-private projects that use or may be able to utilize financing under existing toll road legislation that also would be expanded under this bill. It provides us to get a group of people who are smarter than I in terms of innovative public-private partnerships to learn from those folks and to provide an opportunity to report back to the legislature on impediments that may be within current law and recommend maybe even changes to state law in the future that would allow, again, public-private partnerships to become a reality on maybe various projects throughout the state of Oregon. It's also my intent that this advisory group would be able to advise the department and the legislature on projects that we may want to consider as good candidates for opportunities to actually put out to the private sector where they may be willing to partner with us and with other local governments to provide transportation services. I think for those of you on the committee are aware of the airport light rail extension, it's a good example where the private sector stepped up as a result of development opportunities and was willing to essentially fund the majority of that project. Under the current toll road legislation, we don't have those kind of abilities. This provides, again, an opportunity to look at other things other than tolls, and also, again, provides us to look at other projects that other than those that were identified in previous legislatures and the limitations that were there. And so this opens it up for us to look at other projects. So we're excited about this. Obviously, there's a fiscal impact. I think we'll be working with the advisory group when we get them set up, and we'll be coming back to the emergency board, as I assume your staff will tell you, to again get finalization of that budget and staffing and consultant use on this. Again, I think it's a very exciting opportunity.
Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. How will the folks get selected that are going to be at the table? Because I think in order for this to work, you've got to have, again, a pretty big table. Will the OTC appoint them, or how will they come forward?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the bill requires that the Oregon Transportation Commission appoint them. We have not gone through a selection process, but I view that we want to open the opportunities pretty wide and get as many people as we can that understand this public-private partnership for transportation, and I would suspect that we'll do some sort of search that will involve talking with a number of folks who are in the business, but also maybe talking to other folks around the United States. But we don't have the selection process established right now, Representative.
Mr. Warner, this might be an ideal opportunity to include members of some of the acts, the Area Commissions on Transportation. When you mentioned that there might be the possibility that the committee would advise the department on some projects, I was sort of mentally running over where I was aware that there might be potential projects. This might be a really meaningful opportunity to engage the acts in a way that you're transmitting information back and forth from a really innovative committee working on an innovative project back out at a meaningful level to those commissions, area commissions.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that's an excellent suggestion, and we'll look at that, because I think we do need to have not only the linkage from the people who know this business, public-private partnerships, but also, again, the people that want the projects, and so we can have a dialogue about how that might work with local governments and with regional areas. I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Well, as long as I got lucky on that one, I might also suggest that that House Bill 3946, assuming the grant happens and it moves forward the way everyone anticipates, that might also be an excellent opportunity to engage the ACTS. The reason that I'm making such a point out of this is that I think sometimes the ACTS feel as though they're just being reported back to, and this might give an opportunity for some of them to be at the table and actually help create the dialogue.
So noted. Any further questions for Mr. Warner?
I don't want to put the questions. I'd just like to thank Mr. Warner, Joan Blank, and Joan Blank. Don't tell her I called her Joan Blank. She's just outside now. I don't want anybody to say that. And Victor. Victor was very helpful in pulling together all the things. And Gary Conkling, is he in the room? He has been very helpful working with former State Representative Leslie Lewis and is going to continue to help with us at many evening meetings that we've met in during the session. And I truly thank the new director and all the help we've had from ODOT.
Okay.
Oh, and I shouldn't forget, my staff was signed up, and I crossed him off. He said after the director of the Department of ODOT spoke, there was absolutely nothing he could add, but he also met with us in many meetings, and we've worked very hard on this. So I thank my volunteer policy advisor in my committee, Mr. Mike Bonetto from Bend. Thank you.
So, Senator, do you move Senate Bill 966 to the full committee with a two-path recommendation?
I move.
You okay with that?
You need to close public hearing and go to work.
Okay. Session. Close public hearing. Okay. Go into work session on Senate Bill 966.
I move.
Okay, you move Senate Bill 966 to the full committee with a due path recommendation.
This is a toll for you. Bill.
This puts a toll road in the middle of Albany to fund the rest of the state's transportation project.
I withdraw my motion.
Is there any objection to Senate Bill 966? Seeing none, so ordered.
Carrier.
Senator Clarno?
Yes.
Full and to the Senate?
Mm-hmm.
House?
I'd be happy to do it on the House.
Thank you, Representative
Johnson. Thank
you.
Anything else we got for the committee? I don't see anything else.
What about Representative Stockton?
It already went.
Oh, it went?
Yeah, we.
How could it go without me?
You were here.
I was here.
Here
and your bills came up?
No.
No, that's not different bill.
Oh,
different bill.
It'll be tomorrow.
You're thinking of the Ringo Starr?
Yeah. That'll be tomorrow.
Okay.
Actually, even that's a different bill.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.